Okay, so we saw yesterday the Maskana of the Gemara based on Toitefos. Toitefos teaches us, said the Gemara, beyond any discussion, that there must be an opinion that holds Yesh Eim Lemaseiris, meaning until this point we thought that everybody holds Yesh Eim Lemikra. Says the Gemara, we can prove it from the Toitefos, but it must be Yesh Eim Lemaseiris. Let's just review that. What exactly was the proof? The proof was from the fact that a Toitefos is spelt on occasion without a vav and on occasion with a vav. It's written three times altogether, but not every time is it written the same. Again, twice without a vav and once with. And the Braiser says, Toitefos, 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 twice in the single, once in the plural, that's one and one and two. Says the Braiser, that gives us four. And that's how you know that it's got to have four parashas. Now, the question is, if you would go with a mikra, then you'd surely have to read it, toitefos, in the plural, every single time.
Well, not necessarily, because like we
Read
said, the first one could be the mitzvah and then it could be
it
one
every
and
single time in the plural, then that would not give you the number four, rather it would give you the number six.
Well, that what
1 second. So the Gemara is therefore proven from over here, that you see that it cannot be that it's universally agreed upon the Yesh Eim LeMikra. Now, in the case of Sukkos, we had a similar discussion. In the case of Sukkos, there also it's written three times, and nobody said there that you get to six. Everybody said there that, yes, it's three times two, which may be six, but the first one you've got to drop
right.
because the first word you need, as the Gemara calls it, legufei. So why would I not say the same with regard to Toitefos as well? I mean, even if it is written in the Mikra, understood in the Mikra, so it's three times two, which is six. But if you drop the first one, then you're only left with two. Two times two is four. So where is the proof that Yesh Eim LeMaseiris? That is a very good question. That is a discussion, if I'm not mistaken, that Tosafos just talks about over here.
That's just what I was just going to say.
Yeah, but either way, in the final analysis, the way we left off with yesterday, and we're going to try Be'ez Hashem finish this off. And by the way, the aim is to get to the bottom of the Omer today, and then I think we are overdue a period of Chazara. So where we're up to at this stage is as follows. We've gone literally backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. Where we're up to at this stage is as follows. Marisha, is that again with us?
Yeah, my camera just fell off.
No, okay,
Please proceed. I'm listening. I'm listening. I
okay.
just got to figure out where it is.
Okay. No, we could just see your shoes at the moment. Okay, so either way, where's the Gemara up to at this stage? We seem to agree that there is a machlokes. Yesh Eim Lemaseiras, Yesh Eim Lemikra. There is a machlokes after all. So the big question was, so what about Bosa B'Cholov? Bosa B'Cholov, if there really is a discussion about Maseiros and Mikra, so why did nobody tell us that there's an Issa called Bosa B'Cholov? There, for some reason, everybody agreed that you go with the Mikra. Oh,
I'm
Ramesh,
gonna
is that
go off of videos because it's too distracting. When I get it, I'll be back.
it's a bit dramatic watching you under the table there.
Hold on.
I'll go
Please.
upon him. So the Gemara answered that Cholov and Chelev is different. What's the difference? Because Cholov and Chelev are not spelt differently. The whole discussion about Mikra and Maseiros is when you've got a discrepancy between the way it's written and the way it's pronounced with regard to the spelling, like chronos, nephoshos, toitefos, sukkos, all those words. So that's where we have a discussion, yesh em lemikra, yesh em lemaseiros. But when it comes to a word which can simply be pronounced in two ways, but it's not spelt any differently either way, then you definitely go with the mikra, that becomes the rule. And therefore, lois avashal gadi b'chalei v'imoi, chalev and chalev are spelt exactly the same. Therefore, that is not subject to the Maseiras Mikra Machlokas, and you definitely go with a Mikra. So let's press a very big pause over here. If we were to end the sugya over here, then everything would be fine. Everything would be fine. We have five Machlokesim and Amud Aleph, which in the final analysis may well depend on the Machlokes between Mikra and Maseiras. That is 100% true. Bosa B'cholov is different. Why is Bosa B'cholov different? For reasons we just mentioned a moment ago. There's no difference in the spelling between Chelev and Cholov. If there's no difference between Chelev and Cholov, we definitely go with a Mikra. But wherever there is a discrepancy in spelling between the Maseiras and the Mikra, then we have a Machlokes. So for all the various machlokes we had in Amud Aleph, whether it be Kronois or Nefashois or Sukkos or Yarshion, indeed, those may well be dependent on the machlokes on Mikra versus Maseiras.
May I ask a quick question or not? I was just thinking, it just dawned up, why would there even be a Habamina that it says Bechelev Imo or whatever? Chelev is treif. Why would you even think for a second that you can cook in the gym in treif?
You're asking good questions, but you obviously haven't seen the next line of the Gemara. So let's keep going. Says the Gemara, Vaharei. The first word on the line is Hadodi. Says the Gemara, Vaharei Yeiroe Yeiroe. Or better pronounced, Yire and Yeiroe. Dechi Hadodi Ninhu. We've got another example. So far, we've only had one, Cholov and Chelev, where you've got two words which are spelt exactly the same. And what did the Gemara say? If they're spelt exactly the same, then you go with the Mikra. One second. We have another example. Yire and Yeroe. Where is this? This is with regard to the mitzvah to go up to the Beis HaMikdash three times a year. As we know, it's called the mitzvah of Re'ia. Re'ia means to see. Now, who's doing the seeing? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu seeing us, or are we seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So over there, when you have the letters Yud, Resh, Aleph, Hey in the Sefer Torah, that could either be read as Yir'eh or Yeiro'eh. Yir'eh means he shall see. Yeiro'eh means he shall be seen. So here's a classic example, and we'll see the ramification of it in a moment. Here's a classic example. This is exactly the same as Cholov and Chelev, where we have a discrepancy between the Mikra and the Maseiras, but there's no difference in spelling. Now, according to the rule that we said before, whenever you have a discrepancy between the Mikra and the Maseiras, if there's no difference in spelling, then what do? You always go with the Mikra. The Gemara said you only have a Machlokes between Mikra and Maseiras if there's a difference in spelling. But Chelev and Cholov, because it's the same spelling, we would always vote for the Mikra. So if I've got another example of Yireh and Yeiroeh, in a moment we'll see what the difference would be, even though there's a difference there also between the Mikra and the Maseiras, but there's no difference in the spelling. Both of them, whether it's Yireh or Yeiroeh, are both spelled Yud, Resh, Aleph, Hey. So based on what we said so far, what should be the rule that you go with a Mikra?
Mikra or Masora?
Mikra, like Basa B'Cholov. Basa B'Cholov would be B'Chalev Imoy. Chalev is the Mikra. Chalev means milk. So why is there no Issa of Basa B'Chalev? Because we go with the Mikra. Why is there no Machlokes about it? Because there is no Machlokes when the spelling is the same. So Yireh and Yeiroeh, even though there's also a discrepancy between the Mikra and the Maseiras, but the spelling is the same. So based on what we just said a moment ago, it should be that there is no Machlokes about it, And everybody goes with the mikra, says the Gemara. Yira yira edechi hadodi ninu. They are the same spelling, and guess what? Upligi. There is a machlekas. Now we'll see what the machlekas is, but Rabbi Yisrael, we have to make sure we're halting cop over here. If indeed there is a machlekas, even when the spelling is the same, so we are back in trouble with regard to Basa B'Cholov. Because it's true, Chelev and Cholov are spelt the same way. But why? This has been a question that's keep on coming back. Why is there no Machlekas? We've never heard anybody who says there's an Issa called Basa B'Cholov. So the Gemara previously explained, yeah, there's no Machlekas. Because you always vote for the Mikra when the spelling is the same. But if you can only prove to me that, even when the spelling is the same, but there is a machlekas, well, then we're back to square one. Why is there no machlekas in the case of Basa B'Cholov? So let's have a look. What is the machlekas between Yira and Yiroi? It says the Gemara, the Tanya. Yoichanan ben Dahavoi Oimer Mishum Rab Yehuda ben Teimo. Hasuma ba'achas me'enov. If somebody is Rachmana Litzlan blind in one of his eyes, he's not totally blind, he's blind in one eye, potur min hare'iya, then he exempt from the mitzvah of going up to the Beis HaMikdash, which we call re'iya. Shenema yire yeiro'e. What does that mean? Kederech shebo lirois kach Bo leiro ois. Leiro ois means to be seen. Ma lirois bishtei einov. Af leiro ois bishtei einov. What does that mean? Have a look at Rashi. Says Rashi, Yireh kol zechur chaksiv. It says in the Torah that three times a year, Yireh kol zechur chaksiv, or Yireh kol zechur chaksiv. The Karina, the way that we pronounce it is, in our Gemaras, they put in the dots for us, Yireh. It doesn't say that three times you come Yireh. If you would pronounce it Yira, what would that mean? That three times a year you've got to come to the Beis HaMikdash to see. If it's pronounced Yeira'eh, that means three times you've got to come in order to be seen. By who? By HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, which one is the correct one? Is it to be read as Yira? Or is it to be read as Yeira'eh?
If it's to be read as Yeira, how do you know it's not to be feared?
Because that's without a hey. That's Yorei to fear. Says Rashi, Travayu Darshinon. Do we go with Yeira or Yeira'eh? We actually darshan both. How do you darshan both? Yeira kol zechurcha. All your males, all men in Klal Yisrael should come. Yireh. What does that mean, Yireh? Sheyiru pnei Ashkina. They've got to come and, as it were, see and greet the Shekhinah. But we also interpret it simultaneously as Yeiro'eh. Mashma, Sheyisra'u lefonov, that they shall be seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of him. Shehu ba'al eroisa, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to see them. So we've got one word which could be translated as to see or to be seen. Two ways, depends on whether you read it yire or yira'e, and we in fact darshan both. How so? Hekesh ri'oscha le'ri'osoi. We compare your seeing to his seeing. Who's his? I could just borrow this. Kederech she'akadosh baruch hu ba lir'oischa. In the same way as HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees you, kach bo le'rois, so too. That's the way that you have to be seen. I.e., if a person is totally blind, Rachmana Litzlan, then we all understand that obviously he's exempt from Re'ia because he can't see. But if he's got vision in one eye, so then he can see, albeit that his vision is compromised. So if you would read the Pasuk Yireh, so what would I say? He's got to see, and he can see, so he's Chayv in Re'iyah. But if I compare it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Re'iyah, and I say it's not enough to see, but you've got to be seen, the way that you have to be seen is in the same way as HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu see? Says Rashi. Kederech HaKadosh Baruch Hu bo lir'oischa. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to see you, kach bo lir'ois loy. Such must you be seen to him, i.e., Mahu roya oischa keshehu shalim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees, obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have any eyes, as it were. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vision, quote unquote, is complete. Shenemar, Einei Hashem Eleikecha bo meireishis. So we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vision as Einei, with two eyes. So in the same way as HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees you with two eyes, af ato roya oisoi b'shtei einecho, that is the way that you have to be seen also with two eyes. Therefore, even though you're perfectly capable of seeing even with one eye, albeit in a compromised way, but in the same way as HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees you with two eyes, so too you have to be seen with two eyes. And if you only got one, you're exempt from Re'iyah. So what am I doing over here? I'm taking the word Yireh. I've got a Mikra and I've got a Meseres. And I'm saying they're both true. Says Rashi, Alma, what do I see from over here? Af al gav, even though the Chiyadadi Ninhu, even though the spelling of both of these words is identical, whether it's Yireh or Yeraeh, nonetheless, Darshinon Meseres. I'm going also with a Meseres. So if that's the case, we're back to square one. V'gaba cholov imoy man lema. So who in the world tells us deloy lidrish? Maybe we should darshan chaylev imoy bosar mesayres. We're all back to square one because you presented for me a rule of thumb that where I have two readings of the same word, you only go with the mikra. And here I've got a double reading, Yireh and Yeroeh, and I did not solely go with a Mikra, I went also with a Maseiras. So if that's the case, I'm back to square one when it comes to Cholov and Chelev. Who's to say that there's no Issa of Bosa B'Cholov and also Bosa B'Chelev? Maybe there should be two Issarim. Just like in the case of Yireh, we darshaned Yireh, Yeroeh. The way Hashem sees you is the way that you have to be seen. So maybe Lois Sevashal Gadi should be read B'chelev Imoy and B'chalev Imoy. Says the Gemara on the third last line. Hello, on Rabbi's side, this is the final line of the Sugya. Hello, Omar Rav Acha, Breder of Ika, Omar Kro. Do you know how we know that it must be Boso B'cholov? Forget Mikra, forget Mesoires, forget all of that. It's all alluded to in the Pasuk. Because it says, Loi Sevashel Gedi, Derech Bishul Osra Torah. The Torah only forbids if it comes about Derech Bishul. Okay, why does that prove it's Cholov versus Chaylev. So look at Rashi on the last line. Derech Bishul. Again, they put in the letters for you. Cholov is tzolul kamayim. Cholov is fluid like water. Milk is a liquid. The ikabishul, so it can be cooked. Avol chaylev. Chaylev is fat. Chaylev is not a liquid. In which case, it's einoi bishul, elo tigun, rather frying. So therefore, the Torah would not possibly refer to its production using the word bishul if we're discussing chaylev. You don't cook chaylev, you fry it. So if the Torah says lo sevashel, clearly it's talking about something that you can cook, and that must be a fluid, and it must be cholov.
But it all
is the end of the sugya, and therefore, in the final analysis, what's the Gemara saying? We went backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. But the final line is, there is a machlokes, yesh eim lemikra, and yesh eim lemaseiris. There is a machlokes. And that was clearly visible in the Tota Fois. There is a machlokes. And therefore, all of the five machlokes in Amud Aleph, Kronos and Nefoshos and Sukkos and all of that, can well be explained based on the machlokes between Yesh Eim LeMikra versus Yesh Eim LeMaseiris. What was the big question? If there really is a discussion of Mikra and Maseiris, and you see, for example, in the case of Yira and Yiroa, that sometimes we even go with both when there's one spelling, so why don't we do the same with Bosa B'Cholov and Bosa B'Cheilev? That was a $64 million question, but we've now answered that. Because it's inherent in the Pasuk that we can't possibly be talking about Chaylev. Were we to be talking about Chaylev, then you wouldn't use the word Bishul. So therefore, Lo Savashal Gedi B'Chalev Imoy is a very bad example. There is no discrepancy there between Mikra and Maseiris. The Maseiris is out. It definitely is referring to something liquid, which is something that can be cooked, not something which is solid, like Chaylev, which is fried. So therefore, don't point at Lois Sevashel Gadi, that's a bad example. The general rule is, yes, there's a machloikas across the board. Some Tanoim go with the Mikra, some go with the Maseiris.
Two questions.
1 second. This was all based on Derech Bishul Osra Torah. What does it mean, Derech Bishul Osra Torah? So the way Rashi understood is, it's referring to something that is cooked. That therefore excludes fat, because fat is not cooked, it's fried. But if you look in the bottom Tosas quickly, Derech Bishul Osra Torah, Tosas something different. He quotes Rashi, and he says, Ubechelev einoi bishul. Fat is not cooked, elo tigun, rather it's fried, kedapirish bekuntres. Now, jump a couple of lines, because this is really a sidetrack, but it's just, I want to stick to what's local. Look at the fourth last line of Tosas towards the beginning. V'yesh mefarshim. Some explain differently. Some disagree with Rashi, and they say, Derech Bishul Osra Torah, when the Gemara says, quote unquote, Derech Bishul Osra Torah, it doesn't mean like Rashi. Rashi understood it means that the Gemara is pointing to the fact that it's something that's cookable as opposed to friable. Says Tosfos that no, it means something else. If the Torah forbids it only when it's cooked together, what does that indicate?
That it's kosher without it.
That without cooking, shari, it would be permitted. V'al yedei bishul, and through cooking, however, it's awesome. La'afuke chaylev, as opposed to chaylev. De belav hochi osa, because chaylev is osa anyway. In other words, a totally different interpretation. Tosfos says that some explain that when the Gemara says Derech Bishul Osra Torah, what this means is, If you want to know whether it's cholov or chelev, it must be referring to something which is only osa to eat when it's cooked with meat. When it's not cooked with meat, it's perfectly permissible. Well, if that's the case, it can't possibly be chelev, because chelev is osa to eat on its own as well. So therefore that proves to me beyond any shadow of a doubt, it must be referring to cholov, because cholov is mutter to eat. Basar is mutter to eat. When is it osa? Derech bishul osra Torah, only when it's cooked together.
I have a question regarding Yeroyev. Can I ask?
Yeah.
It said, you said that it says that you need to be seen the way Hashem sees you. So what's the difference if I'm blind or not blind? Hashem sees me always the same, no matter what I am. So I should have to go to Yerushalayim. Because Hashem sees me the way he sees me, the way I'm seen.
We're comparing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vision to your vision. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vision is with two eyes.
Right, so it doesn't matter what I have.
So therefore we learn from there, the way that you have to be seen is with two eyes. That's all.
Right. You have to be seen with two eyes. He has two eyes.
He doesn't have two eyes, then he got one.
No, Hashem has two eyes. You have to be seen. He's doing the seeing. Hashem is doing the seeing.
You have to be spotted with two eyes. You have to be seen carrying two eyes, and you're not. You're only carrying one eye. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees with two. That's the way that he wants you to be as you come to the Beis Hamikdash, also possessing two eyes.
So is the halacha is that a blind person is potter from Yiriyah?
Right. Not only that, according to this opinion, even if you have one eye, he's also potter from Yiriyah. I'm not sure if I ever mentioned to you, just a very, very fascinating question. This was asked about 50 or 60 years ago in this country. There was a certain chocolate, a milky chocolate, where there was a suspicion that one of the ingredients may well have had basar in it. In which case, the heksher obviously could not give any heksher to it. It'd be also basar b'cholov. So they contacted the company and they said, listen, we need to know the ingredients. Does it have this basar contact? Because obviously for Jewish purposes, we need to know whether it's got basar or cholov. And for whatever reason, the company would not disclose the details. So somebody designed an experiment. This is a tshuva found in many of the Achrenim. Somebody designed an experiment in which you could take the chocolate, you would boil it up, and apparently they would take then various readings and measurements. And based on the results of the measurements, they could then discern whether it did or didn't have a meat content. Fine. So this board of kashra says, if the company are not willing to divulge whether it does or doesn't have meat in it, we can work it out ourselves. We'll take this chocolate, we'll cook it up in a pot, we'll take some various readings in the middle, some testing, and that way we'll know whether it has basar b'cholov. So all of a sudden, the question arose at one moment. And what happens if you do your readings and it turns out that it does have basar in it? Well, you've just gone and cooked basar b'cholov. So how can you cook the chocolate in the first place? 50-50. It might turn out not to have basar, which is wonderful. But in the event that it does, you've just gone and cooked basar b'cholov. So who says you'd be allowed to do the experiment in the first place? That was a terrific question that was asked about 50 or 60 years ago in this country.
Maybe they found out that they thought the basar was chaylev and not chalev, and therefore they were allowed to cook it.
No, they held Yeshem Lemikra.
Sorry, go ahead.
There's a discussion, just, I know we're bringing off topic, but it's such a fascinating shayla. We know on Shabbos, if you cook something, then second time round, if you cook it, you're not over the Issa or Bishul. Because Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. The big question is Ein Bishul Achar Bishul a principle in Basar B'cholov as well? Meaning, if indeed this chocolate does have Basar in it, but it's already been cooked together. So even if I cook it again and it turns out it does have Basar, but perhaps I would say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. So maybe the experiment would be permitted after all. And there's another discussion that one of the Achronim proposed. And that is, some say that it's only forbidden to cook basar b'cholov if it is cooking with view to eat. If I cook basar b'cholov for the purpose of eating basar b'cholov, then it's also to cook. Whereas in the case of chocolate, I'm not possibly cooking it in order to eat. Because in the event that it would turn out that it has basar in it, then obviously I'm not going to eat the chocolate. So I'm only actually cooking it to facilitate eating it if it doesn't have basar b'cholov. So I'm never actually cooking basar b'cholov to facilitate the eating of basar b'cholov. That was another big tzad in the Achronim, amongst other things. It's not really our discussion, but it's a fascinating shayla of basar b'cholov.
Yeah, but even in that case, you're not taking basar and cholov and cooking them together. You're cooking the chocolate and basar b'cholov is appearing. It's not like you're taking two components and then cooking them together and you're over the isser. You're cooking something, and it turns out that that's what's in there.
That's what it is. So it's been put together for you. Who cares who put it together? The only discussion is it's been cooked already, so maybe ein bishul acha bishul. One of the more fascinating questions, almost as good as the shayla when the Rav was called by the frantic housewife. She said, I was cooking a whole pot of milk. Women can multitask. And she says, I was on my phone, which was like tucked up into my shoulder, and the phone fell splat into the pot of cholov, boiling hot. So I took it out, and I dusted it down, and I cleaned it off, and Baruch Hashem, it works. The problem is, later on in the day, I was cooking a cholent with meat in it, and I was doing the same thing, and the phone fell in again. The phone now has basar b'cholov in it. I would like to ask his housewife, were you talking Lashon Hara perhaps when you were on the phone? I'm more concerned about that. But in all seriousness, what is the shayla? We know that basar b'cholov is not only asa to eat, not only asa to cook, it's also asa to benefit from. So that was her question. If there's basar b'cholov in this phone, so maybe it's asa to benefit now from the phone. That was the shayla. No, what is everybody paskin? Why is it a mistake?
Bottle b'shishim.
Nope. There was no bottle b'shishim. The whole thing fell into chol. The whole thing fell into basar. So why is there a mistake?
Ein bishul acha bishul.
Not bishul acha bishul. The chol and the basar had never been cooked together before. This is the first time they'd ever been cooked together. I leave with you in suspense till tomorrow, or shall I put you out of your misery?
Tell us.
Maybe the phone is considered chalev.
The answer is that you're not allowed to benefit from basar b'cholov. That's true. The fact that my phone happens to have basar b'cholov in it, I'm not benefiting from the basar b'cholov. I'm benefiting from the phone. I gain nothing from the fact there's basar b'cholov in it, except crackly transmission. Basar b'cholov, if you have a piece of basar b'cholov and you sell it to a guy, then you're benefiting it from the basar b'cholov. Here, the fact that there's basar and cholov in it doesn't help me in any way. I'm benefiting from the phone, and therefore the phone is perfectly permissible.
So does that mean a Jew cannot own a McDonald's in America with cheeseburgers?
Correct.
Wow.
Okay, we're going to hold it over here. As mentioned, we've got to the bottom now. We are highly overdue a chazara, but we're going to do the chazara the way we learned it, meaning that very first Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, most of the Mishnah we didn't learn, only the first three or four lines, and the bottom three or four lines. And the Bez Hashem will begin tomorrow. We should have the Surah's Tevis. Ramesh Zarek, do you know any details of the Levi or anything? You're on mute.
No, I don't. I think they're going to wait for Yosef's sister to arrive from London. So
I know she'd been unwell for a while, but was this a sudden at the end?
She had been deteriorating for some time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there was no indication last night that this would happen. She passed away in her sleep.
Ah, okay. The Misas Nishika. Okay, we should hear the Surah's Tevis, but Ezra Hashem is Baruch.
Thank you for a great share, Rebbe.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Yeah.